to the Internet Monthly podcast, a podcast featuring 20 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this month's issue, you can find out which newspapers are set to charge you for reading their content online, check the latest news on Twitter in newspaper format, read a new magazine on social media marketing, see the technologies at work behind any website, and get 14 internet tips to cut your cost of living from the aptly named lovemoney.com. News behind the wall. An uncertain future awaits online editions of The Times and Sunday Times, published by Rupert Murdoch's News International, as the two newspapers implement plans to retreat behind a paywall, with a virtual cash register taking entrance fees at the gate. Although there are no such plans at other British papers, and the Irish Times once tried, and failed, to collect fees from online readers, the New York Times has been charging for parts of its website for more than a decade. The move by News International will be its second attempt in the UK to charge for access to online content. A paywall was erected in 1997, when readers were asked to subscribe by sending a cheque in the post. Read more at news.bbc.co.uk. End of conversation. Instant messaging was once tipped to replace email, but recent UK figures show that time spent on instant messaging lately has dropped by 65%. Just a few years ago, it was meant to be the future. More immediate than email, less fiddly than texting, sending an instant message was expected to become the preferred way to communicate online. But according to UK Online Measurement, which looked at the habits of 40,000 computer users, although 14% of time online in Britain was spent on instant messaging in 2007, more recently it has fallen to just 5%. For more information, see news.bbc.co.uk. Ready to Rumble. British startup business Rumble, a mobile recommendations company, has raised £500,000 to grow its arsenal of applications that record and match people's tastes and preferences. The cash came from M8 Capital, a London-based firm investing in the mobile internet sector. Rumble has similarities with other suppliers of venue location-based applications, like Foursquare and Gowalla in the US, a marketplace that the company plans to exploit from new offices in San Francisco. But Rumble's design team say their service will be unique, underpinned by a powerful recommendation system that matches users' tastes with those of others who like the same types of venues. Founder and chief executive Andrew Scott says they have invented something like Google's PageRank algorithm for the physical world. Check out rumble.com. Twitter zooms in. 2 weeks ago, Twitter launched Places, the location sharing feature that the company announced at its conference in April. Users could already share their location on Twitter, either their latitude and longitude coordinates or their neighbourhoods. But with Places, they can share a specific location, like a coffee shop, restaurant or pub. Then users can search to see all the tweets from that location. In its blog post announcing the debut, Twitter notes that its database includes all the World Cup stadiums in South Africa, so fans can see which World Cup tweets come from people who are watching in person rather than people who are commenting from afar. For more details, see blog.twitter.com. Shopping around. From price comparison websites to online voucher promotions and free phone calls, it's easy to save money with a little help from the UK wide web. If you know where to look, says regular columnist Serena Cowdy at lovemoney.com, offering 14 ways the internet can save you money. Check out lovemoney.com/news. Cheap eats. When packaged food gets close to the best before date on the tin, jar or box, wholesalers move it by the pallet load to short date retailers specialising in selling clearance food items at bargain prices before its use by date. Two firms that offer nationwide delivery, one offering an alternative pickup site, have appeared on the web. Check out approvedfood.co.uk and foodbargains.co.uk. E and OE. Last month's newsletter carried two stories about Facebook's new Open Graph development, which provides website publishers with simple tools to integrate Facebook features and functions directly into their own sites. The two news items were followed by a how-to article for webmasters wanting to add the Facebook functionality. However, after copy for the June issue left the editor's desk to be made ready for email distribution, an unidentified gremlin managed to remove the instructional text about the Open Graph initiative and replace it with advice for site owners from the previous issue, which was concerned with the entirely different matter of Google's innovative recommendations about including images in sitemaps. The correct story follows. Open Graph how-to. Using Facebook's new Open Graph protocol, any page on your website can now have a like button. When a visitor clicks it, the page will show up in the activity stream on Facebook. Pages will need a few Facebook-specific meta tags: title, type, URL, site name, and image, added in the head section, which will be used to define how content is displayed in the user's Facebook news feed, as well as how it's categorized and linked back to. And if you link the like button to your Facebook account, you'll be able to message all the people who've clicked it. A new API for developers makes it easy to make pages more shareable without having to devote resources to creating a separate Facebook fan page that needs to be updated, which will be especially significant for sites that contain hundreds or thousands of pages they'd like Facebook users to be able to share. The example given on the Facebook development blog is imdb.com, which has a like button for each movie and actor page. The Open Graph protocol is clearly detailed on Facebook's documentation site. For more information, see developers.facebook.com/docs. Social Media Marketing Magazine. News and opinion about the marketing opportunities offered by social media, the likes of Twitter and Facebook, or Dig and Delicious, is not hard to come by. But you can spend most of your time keeping up with the ideas and advice that comes from so many different directions. As a help to sort through the clutter, a new digital publication, Social Media Marketing Magazine, was launched last month. This new publication for promoters wanting to use social media is taking a stab at becoming the central resource for social media marketing expertise. The online publication is described on their site, Social Media Marketing SMM Magazine's Innovative Editorial Approach features the expertise of a number of marketing leaders from the business, publishing, and academic communities. With their unique perspectives, SMM Magazine helps you navigate through the social media maze and emerge with a more clear understanding of how to achieve your marketing goals by applying effective strategies, tactics, and best practices. Check out smmmagazine.com. Who needs Flash? The decision by Steve Jobs to ban Adobe's Flash technology for videos, animations, and interactive mini applications on the iPhone and iPad is one of the most controversial steps taken by the Apple founder. In an attempt to prove that despite its near ubiquitous implementation across the web, Flash isn't necessary, Apple has posted a set of 7 demo pages that show off the power of HTML5, the emerging new standard for web content that will run, theoretically, with any browser on any device. But the demos require you to use Apple's Safari browser, or just possibly Google's Chrome. If you're willing to install Safari on your PC, you can see most of the technical tricks on display. See more at apple.com/HTML5. First Fusion APU. At Computex 2010, AMD gave the first public demonstration of its Fusion processor that combines the central processing unit, CPU, and graphics processing unit, GPU, on a single chip. The AMD Fusion family of accelerated processing units, APUs, not only adds another acronym to the computer lexicon, but ushers in what AMD says a significant shift in processor architecture and capabilities. Microsoft's corporate vice president, original equipment manufacturer division, Steven Guggenheimer, joined AMD on stage at Computex. While visual computing has made incredible strides in recent years, we believe that the AMD Fusion family of APUs, combined with Windows 7 and DirectX 11, will fundamentally change how applications are developed and used, he said. For more information, see amd.com/US. Website Interrogator. W3 TechSites is an online checker that shows the various technologies used by any website that you might be curious about. It's server-side programming language, client-side programming language, markup language, character encoding language, JavaScript libraries, web servers, operating systems, and more. Reports sometimes highlight errors and omissions too, so you might want to put your own site to the test. Enter the domain only, example, something.com, without adding HTTP or www. Check out w3techs.com/sites. Multi-monitor. Dual and multi-monitor setups are commonplace in the workplace these days. But even with lower prices and much slimmer screens than a few years ago, most home users can't justify the extra cost or haven't got the extra desk space needed for more than one PC screen. But anyone who'd like to try multi-monitor capability without having to invest in additional hardware or find additional desk space can taste the experience with a free download named Dexpot. For more details, see dexpot.de. Pixel Perfect. Ask any graphics designer or gaming enthusiast about the differences between various computer monitors and their color settings, and you'll probably get a lecture about how important it is to get all those myriad settings perfectly tuned. Screen Perfect is a web-based application that takes you through the steps with a few on-screen tests that could help you correct your settings for a Pixel Perfect monitor. Check out screenperfect.aperturegames.com. TV output gets web input. At Google's recent I/O developer conference in San Francisco, Google executive Rishi Chandra demonstrated the company's new open source television platform that brings the internet to the living room by integrating web features with traditional TV. Read more at zdnet.com. Zen adding fiber. Zen Internet has announced the imminent rollout of its fiber optic broadband service, capable of speeds of up to 40 megabits per second and a minimum download speed of 15 megabits per second. The new service, due to be launched in September 2010, will be available in 24 BT exchange areas, with more than 100 more set to be upgraded later this year. At least 300 additional exchanges, covering most of the rest of the country, are scheduled to be included in 2011. Zen is currently asking for volunteers to take part in its commercial trial of fiber products. If you are in an enabled exchange area and would like to be considered for the trial, please email fiber@zen.co.uk. For more details, see zen.co.uk. Tabloid Twitter. Paper.li organizes links shared on Twitter into what it hopes will be an easier-to-read newspaper-style format. The stream of tweet highlights is updated every 24 hours, and keywords are displayed in a cloud. For anyone who's put off or just plain baffled by Twitter's standard presentation, this website attempts to organise the posts and links in a much more palatable way. If none of the existing pages matches your interests, you can sign in with a Twitter or Facebook name to begin one that does. Check out paper.li. Wall posters. The tweetwall.com is an all graphics directory with 176 snapshot thumbnails per page, where you can connect with fellow tweeters. Inspiration for the site may have come from wefollow.com, a more traditionally designed directory of tweeters created by the founder of Dig. Check out thetweetwall.com. Paper tweet. It wasn't long ago that tweets began appearing in Google search results. Now, Twitter is set to be even more prominent on Google searches as the search giant tests display ads integrated with Twitter. Google is testing display ads with embedded tweets that prompt users to follow the advertiser's account. Twitter's logo and a tweeting bluebird appear as bookends alongside the ad copy, and users clicking on the ad land on the advertiser's Twitter page. Neither company is talking about the financial terms of the arrangement or saying if this would create an additional revenue stream for Twitter on top of the search deal it signed with Google last year. Google said the new Twitter ads were a limited test. Read more at clicks.com/364-0539. Google Geo-Marketing. Eric Sass is angry. He's discovered that Google has opted him in to share information about his geographic location with all kinds of websites that he's not remotely interested in. Read more at mediapost.com/publications. Search Engine of the Month. 8 years ago, the BBC launched a British-focused search engine intended to rival the UK versions of Yahoo and Ask Jeeves. It incorporated screening to exclude unsavoury sites and added results from bbc.co.uk and BBC News sites to its finds from across the web. It also avoided advertising. The BBC, with its 80 years of know-how and editorial expertise, is ideally placed to provide a UK-focused search engine that will not be tainted by paid-for-results, said Ashley Highfield, director of BBC New Media at the time. Eventually, searches covering general web results were dropped, but the engine continues to operate, offering an easy way to scan content from the BBC's full range of websites, which had reached a total approaching 400 by early this year. Check out bbc.co.uk/search. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.